Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing this fine, rainy spring day?
I'm good. Mm-hmm. I'm good. It would have been a good day to curl up with a book, though.
I know. Is this rain wear on you? You're like get tired, harder to get up in the morning.
It is definitely harder to get up in the morning, but it's all good. It's washing away the pollen.
That's
a nice thing.
That's huge for me.
Definitely. So great event last week, Lee.
Yes, quite a large showing there, huh?
Radio X Mixer. Lots of familiar faces, a lot of previous guests. Gosh, it's like a blast from the past in so many ways.
So many. See all these people that you haven't seen. And how about people you're like, hey, and they talk to you like they've known you forever.
Yes.
And you just like met them for 15 minutes on the show.
On the show, yeah. Exactly. Lots of those. But then, again, a lot of folks I hadn't seen in probably 2 or 3 years that were on the show. So definitely a great way to reconnect. Hey, I went to an event on Sunday night with the Top Chef.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's 7-season winners for Top Chef, and they each prepared a course. It was a 7-course meal. It was so good.
Where was that?
It was at Ray's Killer Creek in Alpharetta to benefit the Aflac Cancer Center.
Nice.
With wine pairings and stuff. But now I think I'm going to have to start watching Top Chef. It's really cool. Very cool concept.
Yeah. So how does that work? I don't know. I don't watch that one.
They compete for money for their charities.
Uh-huh.
But they give them really weird secret ingredients like gummy bears and
right.
Captain Crunch and then weird mushrooms and stuff. But it was very, very cool. And the chefs
so you ate
very
a
impressive.
7-course meal?
7-course meal. With the wine pairings. Yeah, thank goodness I wasn't driving.
Man, that is a party.
But I did see some of our previous guests there. Remember Jennifer from the food service?
Sure.
Yeah, she was there. Saw the Fresh and Fit people there. It was kind of neat
did you know any of the chefs or those were like celebrity chefs?
They were all celebrity
so
chefs.
So they weren't local.
One of them is local.
Uh-huh.
And then she brought all these other friends in that were season winners. And it was very cool. Very cool. You guys would have enjoyed it. It was kind of a social media at its finest. They scheduled it on a Monday and sold out by Tuesday and the event was on Sunday. That's how fast the whole thing came together.
Man.
Yeah.
You're in
very
a good
cool.
circle to get that, get an invite there.
They sold 200 tickets, yes. It was very nice. Excited about our show today because we're always looking to save money and we're always looking for tax advice, especially this time of year. And I'm so impressed that Debbie Snelling could break away from things today to come and share some tips with our listener. But first up this morning, we have Mike McDaniel. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show from Health Perks.
Thank you very much, Amy.
So tell us what Health Perks is. I just got a little snapshot from you, but it sounds very interesting.
You know what perks are.
I do, but this is P-E-R-X.
Oh, so it's different perks?
Yeah.
These are good perks. These are the types of perks that everybody's looking for right now. And it's basically, Health Perks is an innovative strategy to help individuals reduce their health care costs and gain access to doctors on a 24/7, 365 basis anywhere in the country at any point in time.
And is it via phone, or how do you get in touch with them?
It's a phone-based service whereby you can pick up a phone at your convenience. Say it's, you think about going to the doctor and the doctor's office, and it's always within a narrow time frame. And
it's always like on a weird, it's the middle of the night, you have some crisis.
Yeah, your children never get sick.
9 to 5.
Yeah, exactly. It's Friday at 6 p.m. and the doctor's office closed. And it's like, oh, darn, I got to wait till Monday to get to a doctor, or you're starting to come down with something, or maybe you're in a different city or you're traveling. But basically, you can pick up the telephone if you subscribe to the service. You can call a doctor, reach a board-certified state-licensed physician in your state, and be able to talk to them within an hour or so and describe your problem and your symptoms to them.
Interesting. So we've had a lot of guests recently talking about healthcare. What do you think is going on in healthcare that makes this such a good fit? I mean, I know the answer to that, but why do you feel it is such a good fit and a great time for it to be in the market?
Well, it's not rocket science. We're all experiencing the same things. It doesn't matter whether you're uninsured or whether you're fully insured through an employer. Everybody's experienced the same thing, is that they're either having trouble finding health care, they're finding trouble having access to a doctor at a reasonable cost, or if you're, insured and you're working for a large employer, every year they take a little bit more benefit away, the costs go up, the deductibles go up, the copays go up, and, the formularies get shrunk and the types of drugs that you're allowed to get, suddenly things are tiered. You got tier 1 drugs, tier 2, tier 3, tier 4. Oops, that drug's not covered. So even people who are fully insured are experiencing pain in the marketplace.
And how long has this been around?
Well, the components of our program have been around for quite some time. The telemedicine concept has been around for approximately 8 years. It launched with great fanfare about 8 years ago. And, of course, just, you know, medicine has been around forever, and pharmaceuticals have been around forever, and access to networks for dental, hearing, vision, things of that nature. You know, everything's constant in the marketplace. It's just that the terms and conditions are changing.
Now, when calling this doctor, is this to kind of a general practitioner?
Mm-hmm.
So that's who the typical doctor is?
Exactly.
So then they kind of give me I tell them my symptoms. What's that call like? Because, you know, in real life, the doctors kind of try to blow you off as quickly as possible to move you on. Because I got to see 50 people. What is it? That's not true? I'm making that up? That's not how doctors are?
I mean, they do have to crank them out to make some
money.
Exactly. They can't be sitting there with you for an hour and a half.
Right. So, is this, you know, a lot of old people go to the doctor for sport.
It's recreation.
Right. That's their social life. So how do you protect yourself from that they're not calling every 15 minutes?
Well, it's just...
Do I get unlimited calls? Is that how it works?
You do. You can call as often as you need. You can call for, you know, your standard, everyday common ailments, you know, colds, flus, sore throats, bronchitis, allergies, sprains, strains, stomach pains, diarrhea, all those nasty things. But, you know, you're going to be able to reach a doctor within a reasonable amount of time who's going to take an adequate amount of time with you to...
Right, to assess what's going on over the phone.
Over the phone to assess your symptoms and... You know, it's just like going to any physician for the first time. When you subscribe to the service, it'd be like a clipboard where you check all the boxes about your prior medical condition, things of that nature. But it'll be done over the internet or via telephone. You can call.
So you can do it through chat rather than phone, or is it only by phone?
Oh, you can pick up what I'm talking about is the medical records. You can fill out your medical records either online or pick up the phone and talk to somebody, and they'll transcribe it for you.
Gotcha.
And then all your medical records are available via the internet for whichever physician touches you. And then you can have an interactive conversation about your symptoms, your conditions, and they'll have your medical records in front of you.
Okay.
And then that'll be the basis for, you know, providing a diagnosis.
So your medical records. So say I sign up for this card or for the service. I go online and it activated. I enter all of my health stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
I enter all that online, or I call and they enter it. So that way when I call the doctor, he'll know kind of what prescriptions I'm on or what my past history is.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. And then they'll be able to make, you know, an accurate diagnosis. And then if they determine that a drug needs to be prescribed, they mm-hmm. will prescribe it on the spot and make sure it gets transmitted to a pharmacy nearby you.
So this sits on top of my normal doctor, right? This isn't replacing my normal doctor.
It's not supposed to be considered as a replacement for insurance. And as a matter of fact, this is not an insurance product. It is access to healthcare at a discounted basis. For those people who don't have insurance, and we know there's tons of people out in the community who are dying to have health care, whether you're a restaurant worker or you're unemployed or self-employed, there's many challenges out there for people who are trying to find health care at a reasonable basis, a reasonable cost basis. But it's also for what we consider a gap product for people who have insurance, because you may have an HSA where you've got $3,000 or $3,500 of your money at risk in an HSA, and at the end of the year, you can keep that money if you haven't used it, right?
Sure.
So instead of going to the doctor and paying $150 copay to go see the doctor, what you're going to do under an HSA type arrangement or a large deductible arrangement, you know, this product is only $16 a month for the entire family.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Okay, I was going to ask about the price. That's amazing.
So you can imagine how much you can use that that service as just general protection for your deductibles and copays.
It's like that or Netflix. What would you pick?
Well, think of it this way. It's the cost of a decent lunch or, you know, you name it. It's just $16. It's not much.
So it's your whole family. So you would call, like, today my kid said he had a sore throat, but I knew he had a test, so I was a little suspicious. I had to make a call.
I had one of those yesterday. Cole stayed home from school yesterday, but he was genuinely sick. But you know what? This service would have come in handy.
Right. Just, go, guess what? We're going to call the doctor, and he'll decide.
Yeah, he'll decide.
He's the tiebreaker.
Yeah.
Well, you always got to use parental discretion on how you manage your children. But
that's good. So is it bilingual?
Yes, it is. That's a great thing. All the materials can be presented to people in Spanish or in English. When you call in, you can, if you're you know, a Spanish speaking person, you can get a doctor who is fluent in Spanish, as well as the service centers that support the broad based.
And it's always a doctor; it's never a nurse, because there's like some of these nursing services.
It is not a nurse; it is a doctor.
It's always a doctor,
absolutely.
And the reason for that is so they can prescribe things.
Exactly. Right? What's the point of talking to a doctor and then having to say, "Hey, this is what you got, but you know, good luck."
Right.
I don't need it.
It's the prescription part. That's the magic.
Yeah, and the prescription is a pretty interesting benefit, because when we provide the service for the access to the doctors, also as an integral part of the service is the pharmacy discount card.
Mm. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Well, the pharmacy discount card is a card that you would present to the pharmacist when you're picking up medication. And the card will allow you to receive anywhere between 15 and 75% off of the normal price of a drug.
Wow.
And is there a list of, like, certain drugs? Is it one of those things that has a formulary? I mean, is there a formulary within the formulary of the discount card?
good question. That's kind of the whole point, is that, you know, the environment of medicine today is that the formularies that are being offered to and sponsored plans for health care are becoming more constricted and more tiered with higher price levels. Well, this card applies for every single drug in the marketplace. Now, granted, some discounts will be larger, some will be smaller. There's certain drugs that are branded that are, I shouldn't say branded, but are, you know, patented, that don't have any competition. There's not,
right,
you know, a substitute in the same therapeutic class. So,
right,
you know, your discount off of those may be limited to, say, 10 or 15, 20%.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of drugs that, you know, they're right in the heart and in the wheelhouse of the universe, and it's a $40 or $50 drug or $100 drug per month for a 30-day supply, and you might be able to get that for 50% off.
Wow.
That's a good deal. Yeah, and still, all of that comes with the $16 a month? Or
that's an additional fee for that card?
No. That's an integral built-in feature of the service, and as a matter of fact, the card in and of itself, we can give away for free.
Really?
Yep.
With the purchase of the monthly program.
No. I mean, we would love to have people subscribe to the entire service, but the pharmacy discount card can also be obtained just on a free basis. You can go
to your website.
Yeah,
wow.
You can go to our website, SOV Health Solutions. Two clicks of the mouse, and you can print out a pharmacy discount card on your computer, cut it out, take it to your pharmacist, and start saving money.
Wow.
See that?
That's a
good thing
deal.
You asked about that. That was good.
Yeah, that's great.
Well, we think it's exciting because, you know, medicine is getting more and more expensive all the time.
If you can save some money, why not? Now, in your mind, how would you kind of construct that perfect healthcare plan for an individual? Is it something with a high deductible and then layer this thing on top of it, and then you got the pharmacy card? Is that?
Well, I mean, in an ideal world, I think that, you know, healthcare used to be, you know, kind of in the old days, something that you bought for catastrophic coverage.
Right.
You know.
Well, that's what insurance used to be. You were getting insured against bad things that probably wouldn't happen.
Something that would devastate you.
Right.
You know, and so, but over time, the pendulum swung more towards people expecting insurance to cover everything. And
right,
for a long time, because of the economic, you know, dynamics in our country, we moved that way and it wasn't a big deal. Then suddenly the pendulum swung the other way. And so we think that, you know, the environment's going to be continue to move more and more towards people obtaining insurance on a quote-unquote catastrophic basis, where they're insuring the first, you know, $5,000, $10,000 of the risk, or, you know, their
right,
health care costs.
Right, the individual pays that price.
Right,
and then
right,
the insurance covers.
And then the insurance kicks in for, you know, for major medical.
Right,
right, right.
And so, you know, we think of this product for, in the ideal environment, as a gap filler, as mm-hmm. a way to protect your money, and that's at risk, and also at the same time provide you with an incredible amount of convenience.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
No, that sounds great.
I know a lot of the, like, WebMD and a lot of the online things are popping up, but they're still difficult. Perfect mm-hmm. example. Yesterday, and I have it actually on the WebMD thing on my iPad.
Right.
And you go in, you enter your age, your sex, and then you enter what, you know, you point actually on the human body, the area that is aching. Well, I had, as you can see, my whole arm is swollen. I had blood drawn yesterday, and I can hardly move my arm. So within like 10 minutes, though, my problem became very serious in the eyes of WebMD. I'm like thinking, oh no, my arm could fall off. I could lose, you know, nerve feeling in my fingertips when I could have picked up the phone and called.
Right, and got an answer.
Last night at 8 o'clock, yeah.
Right.
I'm sure I would have slept a lot better rather than thinking about WebMD.
All the terrible things it might be.
Right. I might go to bed and my hand might like be the size of a basketball when I wake up. I mean, it's so true, though, to have someone to talk to. And without a doubt, these problems always happen after 5 o'clock or on the weekends.
Obviously. It's nice to have a second opinion sometimes, too. And that's one thing that these doctors will do. You can call them and say, hey, I'm just worried about this.
Right. And you have access to them. Why not?
I don't really have this, you know, a crisis or a pending situation, but long term, I've been kind of having these feelings. And you know, what do you think? Or someone told me that I might be suffering from this, or I just need a second opinion and someone to bounce some ideas off. And so, the doctors will do that. And as part of the service, we have, you know, a number of educational tools that are available on the website. Hmm. We've got some really nice portals that are rich and deep in medical information, everything from obesity control to diabetes control to smoking cessation to you name it. You know, there's it's like a mini WebMD, but there's no advertisements.
That's nice.
You know, you're not going to get bombarded with banners and this and that. You go to that web portal and you're looking for advice or knowledge about a condition, you're going to get pure information. No advertisements whatsoever.
Now, is this something when you're out there, because you probably have to collect doctors, right, to participate in this, to be the experts, is it something the doctors are excited about participating in, or is this something that you got to kind of twist some arms to get them to get involved?
No, they're absolutely excited about it because, you know, a lot of doctors are, you know, the average experience level of a doctor in the network is averaging over 15 years and more in the range of 20 years.
Wow.
Well, and that's because a lot of doctors have, you know, they've made their splash, they've made their money. They want to move on and do other things in their life, but they're not quite ready to get out of the game.
Right.
You know, and they enjoy helping people. And, you know.
So you have to have doctors in every state? Is that how this works?
Absolutely, because, you know, it's a state-regulated environment, and so you can't have a Georgia doctor treating a Texas patient. So depending on which state you're in, you're going to get if you're in Texas, you're going to get a Texas licensed board certified physician. If you're in Georgia, you're going to get a Georgia licensed board certified physician.
But think about how cool that would be if you're a physician, say you're 55 years old, 60 years old, kind of ready to retire. You love to fish. Right. You could be having this conversation on the fishing boat.
Right. And you're part-time somewhere, right. So it's not like, you know.
Yeah, I guess that they have their iPad with them and they can see your medical records while they're fishing. But, you know, but you're right. A lot of doctors say, hey, I'm available from 3 to 5 on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Oh, is that how it works with you?
And I'm golfing on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays, and I don't want to talk to you on Saturdays and Sundays. Whatever. You know, it's a mechanism whereby physicians who have great skills, great knowledge, great experience can continue to receive a revenue stream in a very convenient way while still contributing to their profession.
Right.
Yeah. Interesting. Now,
and when you sell this, are you selling it to individuals or do you sell this to companies?
Well, I mean, I'd love to sell it to the largest population possible, but, you know, it's available to anybody at any time. So any one of us in this room could go individually to the website and subscribe today.
But would a company get a discount, like if they brought all their employees, or is this something they just offer to their employees and they just pay the retail?
There's a few bucks that are available to shave off the cost for a larger population. Of course, there's always concessions made to, you know, to.
Right. But I didn't know if you were going after companies to offer it as a benefit to their employees, or are you offering going to companies and saying, hey, let me just get in front of your employees so that I can sell them this one at a time.
Lee, that's a very insightful question because this is really a win-win. If you're a company, your biggest problems are absenteeism, productivity, and, you know, employee satisfaction. And what are you doing every single year? You're going to your employees and saying, hey, guess what? It's enrollment time. And I am going to offer you a great deal. I'm going to take more benefit away. I'm going to raise your deductible, and I'm going to increase the cost. Yay, I can't wait. Thank you so much. So for the employer, you know, here's something that while your but at the same time, you're taking something away because you have to. It's unavoidable because of the cost. And you can say, but I'm going to give you this back.
Mm-hmm. And how do you educate people on it? I mean, is there like a card or a postcard or something that, say, I purchase this for mm-hmm. my employees, it's open enrollment time, and I say, hey, but look how cool this is. And how do you get people to the site to register and to use it?
Well, we could do that in any number of ways. It could be, you know, an information download by the company to the employee, say, hey, we're going to offer to pay all of it, we're going to offer to pay half of it, or we just want to make this available to you because for a small cost, you can really protect your cost and save money. Or they can embed it in their programs and make it either involuntary or right. make it voluntary. They can provide the information or they can direct us to the website. We would collaborate with companies in any number of ways to help them get the – there's always a communication strategy when it comes to benefits. And so we can work closely with people to develop a unique and informative communication strategy to help them get the word out to their employees.
Are there any states that are – kind of buying into this more than others, or are you starting here in Georgia and expanding, or what are you?
We're really starting here in Georgia and expanding, although, you know, the company that
right, I'm sure it works everywhere.
Oh,
right?
It works everywhere, sure. And you know, I just happen to be in Georgia, and we have the exclusive distribution rights in the southeastern United States, so that's where we're focused on. But there are people like me working actively
all over
in the southeast, and I mean, the southwest or wherever. So, absolutely.
Wow, and great information.
Yeah.
And if I can say, do I have time
for
one more? Sure, absolutely. You know, as it relates to companies, when I say it's a win-win is that not only can they give something back while they're taking something away, but if you think about it from their perspective, every time an employee gets sick and is spending time in a doctor's office, what's happening? They're paying the employee's paying a $30 copay, right? But the average cost of a doctor's visit is $155.
Mm-hmm.
And that's before tests or whatever. So.
Sure.
So behind the curtain, the employer is paying $130,
mm-hmm.
and that employee is at the doctor's office sitting around
not working,
mm-hmm. or they're sitting at their desk sick, getting everybody sick, or they're sitting mm-hmm. in a doctor's office, a lot of sick people in the waiting room, and
right.
with Obamacare coming down the pipe and stuff of that nature, there's going to be more sick people sitting in more waiting rooms waiting to see nurses' assistants, physicians' assistants, and nurse practitioners than ever before. So A, if you're an employer, you save that money, you know, and also a lot of times people call and they can, 20% of the time that people call a doctor via telemedicine, they avoid an emergency room visit.
Well, that's good.
What percent?
20%.
Wow.
20%. So if you're an employer and you just kept your employee from going to the emergency room, you just saved $1,000.
Yeah, you did.
Right. That's a big savings.
And so between the cost savings, the productivity, the lack of absenteeism, we've estimated that the return on investment for an employer is north of 200 or 300%. So you give your employee a benefit for $200 a year. That's good for them and their entire family. Make them feel mm-hmm. good while you're taking stuff away from them, and you get your money back two or threefold. It's a win-win for everybody.
Right,
it is.
That's
definitely
good.
A win-win, and so affordable. I was surprised
right.
when you said.
Yeah, it's shocking. It's shocking how affordable it is.
It is. But, you know, then I think about it. How often does it come up that I would use it, but still the comfort of having it there would be worth
mm-hmm.
it, even if you use it twice a year for a family.
I'd be using it every day. I'm a hypochondriac.
I was going to say, you got some issues going on over there?
I just watch House, so then I'd have to call. I'd be seeing symptoms.
Oh, my aching head.
Oh, that's good. Gosh, Mike, thanks for being with us today. Great information. And give everyone the website again if they're interested in going on to purchase a card.
Sure. That's SOV Health Solutions. That's S as in Sam, O as in Oscar, V as in Victor, Health Solutions. And please come visit us. There's a lot of information on the site. Print out your free prescription savings card. Use it. Abuse it. And start saving some money. And then, you know, check out the Health Perks suite of services and take some comfort in knowing that you've got access to a doctor whenever you need one.
Terrific.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, great.
Thank you very much
thanks.
For your time. I really
that's
appreciate
great.
It.
Yeah, thanks for being our guest. I love information like that, Lynn.
I know. That's right in your wheelhouse.
I'm going to go on and get that card, too, because it's amazing sometimes. That whole formulary thing, like I Blue Cross and Blue Shield, but regardless of that, from one month to another, whether it's on formulary or not, and it's just such a pain in the
right.
butt. And just, I'm not on that many prescriptions, but it's like 1 month it'll be 5, and the next month it's 45.
Right.
How does
it's
that
like
happen?
Just random almost.
Yeah. Very random.
Well, thanks again.
Yeah, that's great. And I could totally see the use for that.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Yeah. I mean,
because how often, and especially with kids, you know it's an ear infection, or you just know.
No, they always are like, it's strep. I know it's strep. You know, like parents somehow know what strep is. That, you know, they can do.
I think it's just moms. Moms know what strep is.
It's
you can
never
smell
strep.
It.
It's never strep.
I can smell it. I know it is. All right. Well, I can smell one more thing, too. It's almost tax time. Have you gotten yours in yet, Lee?
Yes.
Have you really? So did I. And
oh, see?
Yeah.
It's not a competition, Amy. It's not a competition.
Part of it is we've had guests recently.
Right, exactly. They've been hammering us.
Yeah, have talked about it. But this morning we have Debbie Snelling at the Snelling Report. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Debbie.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Debbie, your presentation you sent me really intrigued me to the point where, you know, like Mike with the discount program and the Teladoc. It's like certain things, it's like, this is so cool, I've got to share it. So I'm so happy you came on today to share with our listeners about the 2010 tax breaks and what we can expect in 2011. So welcome.
Thank you.
But most importantly, so Lee, you know, you always think it's April 15th, but this year...
It's not. They tricked us.
Why is that, Debbie?
That's because in Washington, D.C., in the District of Columbia... April 15th, Friday, April 15th, is Emancipation Day. So because government offices are going to be closed.
I got a card for that the other day.
Did you?
Sent me a card.
It's fantastic, and I feel so emancipated.
That's
so we get an extra 3 days. We get till Monday, April 18th, so you can get another weekend to sweat it out.
Nice.
All right. Another weekend. Wow. So what's the big news in 2010? I mean, we always say on the show, you don't know what you don't know. Like, you don't know what kind of credits you have because you don't even know what to ask.
Well, and the big news, frankly, was very late in the year, December 17th, Congress passed legislation extending the Bush tax cuts. So what are the Bush tax cuts? For the most part, that extended lower tax brackets for everyone. It included... the taking away the penalty for being married. So normally when you're married and you file a joint tax return pre-Bush tax cuts, instead of getting your standard deduction times two single people, mm-hmm. you got 1.67%. Under Bush tax cuts, you get standard deduction times two. So that's a very big deal. And I've got this too high. Let me lower my mic a bit. Sorry. We've got in 2010, you were eligible to roll over your Roth IRA your regular IRA or your 401k into a Roth IRA. And you have the option of paying all of your tax with your 2010 return or paying none with your 2010 return and paying half with your 2011 and half with your 2012. The first-time home buyer credit was extended from April 30th, but you had to be under contract by April 30th and close by September 30th. And one thing that's killing people who took the 2008 first-time home buyer tax credit is that in 2008, it was a loan and not a credit. And so in 2010, they're having to start paying that loan back, and the IRS didn't program their computers properly.
Mm.
That's shocking.
Yeah, I know that the government wouldn't do something exactly right.
A simple mistake like that.
And people who filed their returns in January are actually not able to get their refunds. They're projecting April 5th.
Oh, well, that's not bad, right? For the government, 4 months?
You know, what are you going to do? It's just money. It's not like you need to pay your mortgage in a bad economy.
I'm sure they'll understand if you write them a note and explain how this negatively impacted you.
No doubt. And certain things as well that can be... tax exempt. When I was going through your presentation, I was like, did I just see that right? Breast pumps?
It's a fantastic change, believe it or not. It's a fantastic change in the IRS reversing their position on breast pumps. Until February 10th, 2011, and effective for 2010, the IRS considered breast pumps and any breastfeeding supplies to be a personal expense for the cost of feeding your children.
Right.
Well, frankly, no woman would attach one of those things to herself.
They wouldn't?
I'm just saying.
Not for free?
Not for kicks and giggles. Exactly. So in February of 2011 and retroactive to 2010, those are now all considered to be medical expenses. So it's fantastic. You can now deduct those as medical expenses.
Because they're not cheap.
Yeah, because they're very not cheap. And this is this falls into the category, if men were doing this, this would have been deductible a long time ago.
I'm sure there's some men that are trying to figure out a way to use this.
They may very well.
They probably would have paid. You probably would have gotten a paycheck for pumping.
But I think that's another show.
Okay. We got to calm down now. We try really hard not to enter opinion, right? Sorry, Lee.
You do.
Oh, sorry about throwing that out as opinion.
So what else you got?
So what else we've got is if you're higher income, there's no phase out of your personal exemptions or itemized deductions in 2010.
What about the estate tax?
What about the estate tax? This is a funny thing.
Can I die? Am I allowed to die now? Or I know last year I was allowed. It was a good thing to die last year.
It was a good thing to die in 2010. And everybody said that there was no estate tax in 2010. To be technically correct, you know, because that's what we do in the tax
realm. I hope some of us are technically correct.
To be technically correct, there was an estate tax and the tax rate was 0%.
Yes. So it was a good deal to die if you were rich last year.
It was a good deal to die if you were rich, and there were also some special exemptions for widows and widowers.
Less than zero? So they're going to give you back money?
They weren't going to give you back money, but you know, in 2011, the rate goes back up. You're still at, I believe it's a $5 million exemption.
Right.
So it's still quite nice. And for most people, that means most of us aren't going to pay an estate tax. But in 2010, the estate tax rate was 0%.
Right.
So,
and there were some big wealthy people that died.
There was actually a concern, believe it or not, that there were going to be people who, at the end of the year, committed suicide.
Oh, wow.
Thankfully, that did not come to pass that I'm aware of.
So tell us, what is the difference between a tax deduction and a tax credit? I've always been confused by that. And then again, I am easily confused when it comes to
this. That's why you have an accountant.
That's right.
And it's an excellent question. The difference between a deduction and a credit is that a tax credit comes below the line. You get 100% back on your dollar. So let's say that I'm in the 15% tax bracket and I get a health insurance deduction for my $1,000 of premiums that I've paid because I can do the math on $1,000 times 15%.
Good.
So thank you. I learned that in my college education. So I'd get $150 worth of benefit then. However, if I got a $1,000 tax credit, I would get to keep all of my $1,000. So a tax credit is much more beneficial. And then you also have, just to complicate things, because in the tax code, if it's a full moon and the dog is howling, then the law is different. So if it's a full moon and the dog is howling, then I have refundable credits and I have non-refundable credits. So I have credits that even if my tax is zero, I can get a tax refund, and those are called refundable credits, things like the earned income tax credit. And I also have non-refundable credits, so that if my tax is zero, I don't get a refund.
Interesting.
You're writing all that down?
Yeah, I'm writing it all down.
I see that she's committed it to memory.
Yes.
Oh, boy. No, it's interesting because
that's why they don't want you to know this. There's so many rules. There's no way a regular person could know this.
Well, and going back to health insurance, since Mike is here today, starting on March 30th, if you were self-employed and you paid health insurance, you could include all of those health insurance premiums that you paid to cover your child who was under age 27. So this was an Obamacare change. So if your child was under age 27 and you included him on your...
How did they come up with 27?
You know,
I'd love to know.
If I had to guess, I'd say dartboards.
Like, yeah, honestly, because it's regardless of whether they're a full-time student, if they're married.
Like 21, 22, they're in college.
Yeah, 24, you can see. But
yeah, I know.
27?
Yeah.
I mean, that it just seems like they just make stuff up.
Yeah. I wish I could tell you that wasn't it, but I'm telling you, I think the dartboard is the right answer. Yeah.
So what are you doing on a day-to-day basis, Debbie? You're just kind of educating people about this, or
what I do
business?
On a day-to-day basis. My business is we're a full-service accounting and tax practice.
Okay.
So I do small business bookkeeping. I've got some multi-million-dollar clients that we've taken over their back office, so we handle all of their accounting and tax function. So that way, they can be in the business of running their business and increasing their profits. And our perspective, in part because I've got a corporate tax background, my perspective is that if I'm not making you money, you should frankly fire me and hire somebody who can.
Okay.
Wow, I like that. Mm-hmm. I definitely
will
that.
Will you help us? find that person?
You don't I am that person.
So when you're working with someone, though, what do you ask them? I mean, like the adoption credit. I mean, are there just a snapshot of questions you go through with me to say, have you done this, 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 or
right, because there's a million rules. Like you have to, you have to like kind of be in my house to know.
Yeah, to see your breast pump, please.
Exactly. You're like, exactly. You got a breast pump? If I would have known that, I could save you $2,000.
We've got so much opportunity now.
No, but really, how do you work with your clients to kind of
you
unveil?
You have to know all that stuff.
You really do. You have to sit down and you have to ask a lot of questions. It really is. It's both about, first, I have to get an education of who you are and what it is that you're doing and what your personal life is about and what your business life is about and how in the world are you going to plan for retirement. And if you've got employees, do you want to plan for your employees' retirement? And do you want to, what kind of health benefits and other benefits do you want to offer them? So this time of year, it's a lot of question asking, and it actually is a lot of just talking to people and saying, here are opportunities, think of these.
That's definitely
valuable. So you have to be a partner in their business,
yeah,
really.
Say,
you can't just be somebody that they call, you know, once a year, like, here's a pile of my stuff. Go figure out the best thing, right? That's not going to maximize.
It's never going to maximize. And again, that's my point. My point is that if I don't know you and your business well enough to make you money, whether it's through tax savings or even operational issues, mm-hmm. There are a lot of things that your financial statements will tell you about your business. Is my cost of goods, am I spending too much if I've got a restaurant?
Right.
Am I spending too much for my labor? Am I spending too much for my back office?
Right.
Do I have too many people working shifts? Am I paying too much for my food? We actually had...
We work a lot with restaurants?
I do work... I've got a lot of restaurant experience.
Uh-huh.
I don't really want to name names, but I've audited some.
An audited is bad, right?
A financial audit is not bad.
Okay, so you were just checking them out.
I was checking them out so that we could issue financial statements,
right,
and the banks
them.
Would be all happy
to help them,
that they could get their loans and they could run their businesses.
So you have some clients that are a restaurant, but you have also just normal businesses.
Yeah, we've got mechanics and. I'm trying to think.
So you have self-employed all the way up, you said multi-million dollar.
Self-employed,
company.
Small business, startup, all the way to right. multi-million dollars.
What do you like the best?
It's a good question. Personally, I enjoy real estate. We've got some real estate clients. My husband is a real estate broker, and I kind of like structuring the deals. And
right.
And when you're a tax director for a publicly traded company, that's really what it's about. It's about deal structuring to maximize the tax benefit.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, in addition to, you know, form filling out what we call compliance.
Right.
I'm looking at the presentation here on my iPad. The other business incentives, when you talk about the when your automobile depreciates, I had no idea. There's all kinds of stuff here that I didn't know. I can see where maybe sitting
they
down
they
got
to live
you,
in your house for like a month. I think they have to.
It's just amazing to
the
me.
The more that they know about you, the more they can help you. Because they know the ins and outs of all these rules. There's no way in a million years you could know as much as they know. This is all they do all day. Yeah. Debbie's sitting there reading the tax law just for kicks.
Exactly.
Like you read, you know.
Kicks and giggles.
Those romance novels.
my cooking magazines, right. Yeah, no doubt. A lot to know, definitely.
Yeah,
a lot
so
to
automobiles,
know.
And this is kind of a big thing that...
you could just make it up. We have no idea.
Yeah, I was going to have to say it off the top of my head, but now I found my notes as well. But normally when you depreciate your car, it's known as listed property. Why is it listed? Because somebody sitting in Congress made a list and it was on it.
Right, there you go. They're always looking out for us.
But normally listed property is limited in the amount of depreciation that you can take. So people always say, I'm going to buy a car and I'm going to write it all off. Well, you can write off only up to $3,060. But... under the tax changes that happened on December 17th, you can take an extra $8,000 through, I think it's 2012. So instead of only writing off $3,000 a year, you can write off $11,000
a
year.
Wow, that's a huge thing.
And that's a huge thing. So there, if you're in the 15% bracket, I'm not sure I can do the math, but I think I just saved you $1,200.
Right, just by taking that deduction.
And that's worth it. Right there, I've already paid for myself. Just
right.
in tax
that,
preparation.
She just made you money.
Right I just there. Made you money. Do you love me?
Yeah, I do.
That's all I'm going for is
but
love.
But then how do they figure out the... Because I have a car that I use for business, and I obviously tally that into my business expenses. But how do they determine the cents per mile?
The standard mileage rate?
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to know how they determine that.
It actually is based upon a number of factors. It's based upon how much your car depreciates. So if you're taking the standard mileage rate, you're not going to depreciate your car because it's built into the standard mileage rate. The 2010 standard mileage rate, by the way, is 50 cents a mile.
50 cents a mile.
And in 2011, it's 51 cents a mile. And frankly, with gas prices going up, they ought to change it in the middle of the year like they did in 2008.
Exactly.
So, but 51 cents a mile, that includes an estimate of the cost to run your car. So gasoline, repairs, maintenance.
Right.
As well as the cost of wear and tear, which is what we call depreciation. Because if we called it wear and tear, people would understand what we were saying.
We don't want that because then you got to pay someone extra to tell you that.
Exactly.
Wow. So much to know. Any other hot tips for our listeners? I mean, if they haven't done their taxes yet for 2010.
They should wait till the last minute, right?
Well, that's going to be my big thing. Wait till the last minute and run into your accountant's office.
With a big pile of
everybody's looking
of receipts.
For that.
They're just waiting.
One thing to be aware of this year is that in 2011, this year being calendar year 2011, is that your Social Security that's being withheld from your paycheck is actually 2% less than it typically is. And that was, again, I'm not sure how it's economic stimulus, but it was written into the code as part of economic stimulus. So the theory being that you take that extra 2% that you're making on your paycheck and you'd go out and spend it and it would stimulate the economy. Here's what I'd rather see you doing with that. I'd rather see you paying off debt. I'd rather see you saving for retirement so that in the event that something happens with your family, you've got some cushion there to do that.
Right.
So that 2% is a big deal. We talked about the standard mileage rate. Something else that people always miss is that you get to deduct 19 cents a mile in 2011 for medical miles or moving miles. So every time you go to the doctor, it's
you're kidding me.
You get to deduct 19 cents a mile. Why would I kid you?
Why
I'm a tax accountant. We got no personality.
That doesn't even make any sense.
It's a bigger deal in areas where you don't have a Northside hospital within 2 or 3 miles. I mean, if you're having to travel.
I know, but you're deducting your trip to the doctor.
Right. But, you know, and you'll have people who fly cross country. Somebody who's in Georgia who goes to the Mayo Clinic. That airfare cost is a tax deductible medical expense.
Really?
Yeah.
And the hotel that you stay there or that's not?
The hotel that you stay there.
Wow, did
but
not know
the,
that.
The big deal, the big wahoo there is document. You need paperwork, prove it.
What about, is it just for the ill person or like say it's a kid? Does the parents get to go for free too?
This would be into the whoever's preparing your return and how aggressive they're going to be. Technically, the IRS's position would be it's just for the sick person. So if it's your kid, you might want to make the argument that your child couldn't get there unless you went with him. But the IRS's position is going to be less deductions, and your position, of course, is going to be more deductions.
Right.
Amazing.
So, but, you know, and so that's 19 cents a mile in 2011. In 2010, it's 16.5 cents a mile. And then the other thing that people don't realize is charitable deductions. Also, you get to deduct mileage for charitable deductions.
Of driving
mm-hmm. to do your charitable
meals on wheels. I mean, if you're
come on,
really?
14 cents a mile. If you make a casserole that you take to your church's fundraising
what about going
event,
to church
the cost
and I donate there.
I regret to inform you that the IRS values your time at $0 and 0 cents.
Right, but what about the miles?
But the miles
because
is
I'm donating something.
Well, if your purpose of going to church is to do charitable work.
Is donating.
It's 14 cents a mile.
But is that donating?
But if
count?
Your purpose of going to church is to attend services, then that's not considered charitable.
But what if at the end of the service I donate money?
Lee.
Look,
I would consider that to be a little aggressive.
Yeah, and especially if you were on your way to church when you were on your way to the doctor.
Oh, I could double dip, right?
But, you know, if you're making a cake and they're selling your cake, the cost of all of those ingredients are tax-deductible charitable contributions.
Wow. For some people that are very charitable and maybe they don't have a job and that's, you know, that what they do, it's a huge deal.
So you have to document everything you do.
Right.
It really comes down to paperwork.
What does your car log look like? You must keep track of all that, I bet.
My car log is a day runner. I keep a daily journal.
So you keep track like 8 miles here, 10 miles there.
8 miles here, 10 miles there. The IRS considers if you're in business for yourself, the first drive of the day is a commute and every drive in between.
So you keep track of every drive you do.
Yeah.
It's hard to do.
It's very
you do it too?
Well, I have a spreadsheet. I'm not as good, but whenever I fill gas, I kind of keep
We're actually working to develop an app so that people can do that on their iPhone or more easily.
Right.
Oh, that would be a great app.
So, yeah.
That would be great.
We're also working on an app so that people can get documents to us better, but I'm going to, before I give that tip away, I'm going to make the app exist in the universe.
That would be
and
terrific.
And sell it first.
Because half the time my little spreadsheet's doused in Red Bull and has footprints on it in my
car.
Can
she deduct that Red Bull? You'd figure out a way, right?
If it's the cost of, if she's entertaining me, actually you guys have water here on the table that you provide, and that would therefore is tax deductible because you're providing it to people in your revenue process. So, yeah, it's tax deductible. If you plan right and you plan accordingly, and I always use this example, and some of this story is me filling in gaps, so in truth some of it's made up.
Right.
But the reality is there's a guy in town who has several Mexican restaurants. I keep saying restaurants today. He's not a client of mine. That's why I have to fill in gaps by making up stories.
Right.
But he goes scuba diving in his personal life, and he has several restaurants. And what he does is he takes underwater pictures. He takes those pictures. He converts them into calendars that he sells and uses as ads for his restaurant. So now he's taking his very personal expense of scuba diving, and he's turned it into a business trip. So now the cost of every time he goes on a scuba trip is deductible because he's using it to generate revenue for his calendars.
Nice.
So that's the point. That's the point of thinking creatively.
Creatively.
Thank you. You can think creatively with your creativity, too.
That's how creative she is.
I'm going to be as creatively as I can. I'll take some words and I'll nounify and verbify them.
That's interesting. You do kind of have to think outside the box. So where does he think this whole tax thing is not creative?
It is. So like you can go, can you kind of work backwards and go, you know what, I do this trip every year. Let me figure out a way to make it a business expense.
You know, the best thing to do is to plan in advance and plan accordingly and document properly the first time. The IRS's position is going to be, you know, scuba trip smells like personal to me. And then you're going to have to go, but look, here's the calendar.
Right. Yeah, look, I'm taking these pictures.
Sell the calendar for a profit.
Right.
And the calendar is sold not only because we make money on the calendar, but because we also have a coupon for our restaurant at the bottom.
Right.
And so that drives business to the restaurant. So there is profit motive all around the concept of it.
It just has to be well thought out.
Now you got me thinking.
And that's the whole point. Another thing, and again, since Mike is here, is that at the end of 2010 was the last time that you could use your FSA to get non-prescription medical items.
Right.
So what would happen at the end of every year, 2008, 2009, 2010, is people would go out and they'd buy mounds of aspirin and, you know.
First aid kit.
And Bengay and first aid kits. And starting 1/1/2011, those things are no longer deductible. So, or rather, those things are no longer eligible to be used on your FSA. Here's what's happened as, you know, watch what you say and do, unintended consequences. What's happened now is that people are calling their doctors and saying, my back hurts, will you give me a prescription for Bengay and
aspirin,
a wrap and aspirin. And so doctors are now being deluged. Not a word that I made up, a real word. They're being deluged with people calling in and trying to get appointments so that they can get prescriptions to write off things that they used to be able to get under their FSA.
Backfires.
So, yeah, the law of unintended consequences, watch what you ask for. So now doctors are actually beginning to charge for appointments for you to come in, and some are starting to charge for phone calls.
So now that $2 aspirin is now $150.
So now the $2 aspirin is $150. Have we reduced the cost of health care?
That's awesome.
I'm not quite certain. But there are arguments to be made on both sides. There are many who argue that allowing you to take your FSA money drives up the cost of health care. I have an opinion about everything, but...
we'll see where that nets out.
Yeah, we'll see where that nets out. But the real thing is, you know, contact whoever is doing your taxes. If you've got questions, certainly contact us. We'd certainly love to talk to you.
And what's that best way? You have a website?
We have a website. Actually, our website has lots of good information on it. It's thesnellingreport.com. Our company is called TSR because the Snelling Report is too long, so TSR Consulting. But thesnellingreport.com, you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Snelling Report. And you can also contact us through contact us on our website, thesnellingreport.com. So, and of course, you can reach us by phone at 404-944-3172. But you know, we're trying to be entertaining here a bit today as well as get some information out. I mean, this is typically an hour-long presentation that I do if I talk quickly.
Right. And is the slides of it available on your website, or if they wanted it, someone could get them?
They can contact us, and we'll make the slides available for them.
Okay, great.
Yep. Again, our email address actually is tsrtax@gmail.com.
Great.
Excellent. Great information. A lot of great information.
See?
Wow. Debbie, thanks for being our guest today. And, you know, it's always a treat when someone can make this entertaining, because when it comes to finance and taxes.
Could be boring.
I glaze
over. We've had boring accounting people here.
Yeah, we have. And Debbie's
not
definitely
Debbie.
Not one of them. But that presentation is really interesting, and I'm anxious to go to the website, because it is one of those where you don't know what you don't know. And I like to be informed, and definitely I'm thinking of trying to get creative with scuba diving. That's nice.
Right, and breast pumps.
No, none of those.
I think
for
you
me.
Have an unhealthy obsession.
You guys brought it up. Just following your lead.
What is that under your desk, Lee? Those aren't headphones. No wonder you put the sign on the door.
That's it. On the air. On the air.
Anybody who's ever had a breast pump, you know the noise. All right, y'all. We digress.
Very much.
Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.